From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Here in a bit, we're going to talk with Braden Thornberry, Ole Miss golfer, NCAA champion, and likely professional golfer here soon. He started that path by playing in the second stage of the Web.com Q School in Florida, I guess last week, and he did make the score necessary to advance to the finals here in December. So we're going to talk to him about his decision on whether or not to turn pro, the pressure of playing for his livelihood sort of for the first time, as well as kind of sticking to the plan after being way ahead of schedule and winning the NCAA title as a sophomore. So that and more with Braden coming up here in a bit on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon. And remember, they will smoke your turkey for Thanksgiving for $15. You bring the turkey, pay $15, they'll smoke it, they'll cook it, they'll take care of that for you, let you handle all of the favorite sides that Mr. McCready over here likes for Thanksgiving, between the sweet potato casserole and the butterbean casserole and the cranberry and the rolls, and the whole deal will be available to you because they're going to take care of the turkey for you. So that's the Oxford Exxon, the blue sky there on Highway 6 West. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. It's an incredibly efficient way to do your car shopping. Once you get your deal, the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, and you'll save $500 off the already great bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Couple of announcements we told you about yesterday, tell you again today. Our final live show of the semester at Funky's this Thursday night, 5:30. Matt Wyatt joining us for that one, so come on out. Let's finish up the semester with a decent crowd. We'll try to be entertaining. We'll try to give you some good drink specials, good food specials there at Funky's, like always. And also, if you're in the Nashville area on Friday night there for the game, or just live there, Nashville's been good to us over the years, come on out to Neighbors Germantown, the Neighbors bar in Nashville, the Germantown area, to watch Ole Miss and Butler. The basketball game tips at 7 p.m. We're going to have some giveaways. We're going to have a good time. Got drink specials there as well. So come on out. Let's have a good time there. We're contemplating maybe a future event in Nashville too. Like I said, for a long time they were our number one out-of-state market, still very, very high every day. So appreciate all of you guys. Try to get back on Friday and have a good time with you there at Neighbors in Nashville. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, 6:30 on Saturday night. It is going to be cool. It is going to be clear. It is probably going to be windy. And as Chris Lee said yesterday, I got a feeling it might be rows and sections empty and available for anyone that would like to make the four-hour jaunt up that way.
You're not expecting a sellout?
I'm not expecting I'm not sure if you told me that every ticket sold counted for two if I thought there'd be a sellout.
Such a cynic.
Do you think it's going to be half full?
I expect a
butts in seats,
boisterous crowd. I expect a lot of excitement. It's Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. It's the Doors. It's the Rebels.
It's just an annual rivalry.
It just means more. And I expect a lot of people to be there. I expect it to be completely full. I expect people to be hanging off of rafters.
Best part about the entire Vanderbilt experience is that gelato I mentioned, and you can't really eat gelato in 38-degree weather. I don't have a lot of interest.
It's an indoor press box.
I'm still cold. It's least offensive and more socially acceptable than all the people eating the Muscadine Ripple at the Egg Bowl when it's an open press box and you're freezing.
Sounds nasty.
It's good. No, it's incredibly good, but it's freezing. It's an open press box. You've got gloves on. You're shivering, and it's like, hey, where's the ice cream? It's like, well, I mean, I'm...
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, you wouldn't eat it if it was 85 and indoors, so...
No, I really wouldn't.
You wouldn't even try it. You'd just say, oh, it sounds terrible, and ignore it.
It's just a lot of empty calories.
Well, you hadn't tasted it. You like ice cream. You like sundaes. You like all the stuff.
I do. I'm afraid. I have this fear that I'm getting a little lactose intolerant as I get older.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? Okay. Things you learn on a Wednesday on the Oxford Exxon podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, just I don't. Right there. I don't really. Just a few years ago, like, I would crave ice cream.
And now, not at all?
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah. I think you could tell me today, hey, no more ice cream forever. And I'd be like, okay.
My developed food aversion, and I like it, so I'll still have some occasionally, especially like on Thursday nights, is pizza. I've got to where I don't really care for pizza at all.
Like, you know, it's interesting.
It almost, even the smell kind of just makes me gag a little bit. I'm like, ah, I'm good.
It's interesting you say that. Because
yeah.
I used to be really into, like, I'd look forward to, like, Friday night pizza.
Yeah.
And now I'm...
I can have one piece and I just go, I'm full, I'm done, I have no interest.
Like, I know the pizza at St. Leo, for example, is great.
It is, yeah.
But it's not what I want on the menu. I always get something else.
Do you really?
Every time. Either get pasta or one of the entrees.
Yeah, you like the pasta plates they do, whatever their normal entrees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
their pizza's really good.
Their burrata and sopressata pizza is one of my favorite pizzas anywhere. But,
yeah, but like, I don't want a whole one. I'll just have, I can have a bite of something and I'm okay.
I got that flatbread thing that's really good, too. So, anyway, sorry. I'm just getting off on them.
Like, for example, we were at Funky's, and their pizza's excellent.
Yeah.
But one slice of it, and I'm good. But now, the nachos and stuff, I'm intrigued.
Well, I ordered barbecue chicken nachos last Thursday, because, I mean, sorry,
buffalo chicken nachos.
Yeah, buffalo chicken nachos.
Had some heat to them.
Yeah.
I just had one bite. They were good.
Yeah, they're good. You don't really think about that, but that's one of the things on the menu they have. So anyway,
I don't spend a lot of it's funny. I don't crave. You could tell me that I couldn't have pizza again, and I'd be a little disappointed. But
I don't know if it's the bread. I don't know if it's the cheese. I don't know if it's the gluten. I mean, I have no idea what it is, but I just don't really have any sort of desire for it. Whatever the reason may be. So anyway, your mailbag's up at rebelgrove.com this morning. What's in it that's interesting this morning?
Oh, there's so much interesting in the mailbag. It is.
We did an all-decade team for Ole Miss football this morning.
Someone asked me for an all-decade team, and I'd done it. You helped me catch one what would have been egregious mistake, and you talked me into one shift because, hell, the whole time I've covered Ole Miss, they've run a 4-2-5, so I went ahead and –
Yeah, it kind of helped our ability to, you know, I mean, Ole Miss, it's a recent problem, but it's been a little more than that when we actually went through the numbers a little bit. There's not a lot of linebackers for that, and they've got a lot of defensive backs. So it was like, hey, let's run a 4-2-5 here. Let's do that. We might have been playing some prevent dime coverage with our all-decade team, just saying. So we took a linebacker out and added a safety to our list is what we did. So anyway, what was the egregious error? What did I add?
I had omitted a certain player position where Ole Miss has been really strong over the last 10 years.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And you helped me catch that.
Okay, gotcha.
I would have been flogged mercilessly.
Someone would have caught that in the first 4 seconds.
Some people don't – they get offended by stuff. They get offended by it, and it's like, oh, my God, chill. It's okay. It's just it's a team that's never going to play a game together, so don't worry about it.
I do fully believe that fans, because they're not obsessed with it 24/7, it's their job, they catch so many more of those errors than we do. Like, we just forget stuff because there's so much crap and whatever that there's players in games where I go, I don't know, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, you know, hey, what happened in the 2010 Arkansas game? Well, I remember a little bit. It came a lightning delay and Masoli did this, but otherwise, I don't know.
Well, it's funny. And you're about to go, oh, my God, you're going to go there. And I'm going to kind of go there, but I'm not going to go all the way there. Yesterday at post-practice media availability, look, there's 9 days left in the season. As of today, there's 8 days left in the season. There's just so many. There are only so many storylines. What are the storylines right now? If you ask me, what's the storyline? Well, Scottie Phillips' health.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. I don't have anything else. Scottie Phillips' health. He didn't practice. Derek Nick says he hasn't been ruled in or ruled out.
And if he doesn't play Saturday, Matt Corral has kept his red shirt.
And if he doesn't play Saturday, yeah, that's if you're looking for another storyline, that's a storyline. Do you you know, if the game were out of hand and time.
Yeah, late fourth quarter, and either way, one team's up by four scores.
You don't play him. And let's say Tamu sprains an ankle and you're down 21 in the fourth quarter. I don't play him.
I run some Wildcat or hand Jason Peller in a ball.
I wave a white flag across the stadium and go, hey, we're going to get out of here, okay?
Yeah, three and a half left and you're down 21. Hey, Isaiah, take the snap and run to the right.
I'll be serious. I think they'd play Corral. I do. I don't think – I'm going to stop my sentence right there. I think they'd play Corral. Anyway, people kept – we got Josiah Coatney. And we're at that point in the season where I don't really know why we're talking that much. People are writing stories because I think they feel like they have to write stories. And they're still asking questions about the Texas A&M game, and it's Tuesday night. And a lot of that is because we haven't had the players. You don't get the players on Saturday after the games anymore. I think they got one or two players after the game in College Station. And so it's, you know, what happened in the second half? Was it fatigue? And he says it's not fatigue. You know, we're working on things. What are you trying to clean up? It feels so forced. I mean, normally a storyline would be this is a 5-5 team trying to get to six wins to get into the bowl picture.
Right.
They're not eligible for a bowl game. Therefore, that's not a story.
Everything shifts to offseason, and that's not a player for a you know, that's not a question for a player right at all. So
it's
because that remains the question. What are you doing on November 23rd?
Literally. That's it. What's going on in recruiting? There's a soft verbal that'll go up today.
It's already edited.
Yeah. And then there's what's happening with your coaching staff. That's really the extent of what's truly interesting. It's weird. When people talk about like the bowl ban and stuff, it hasn't been a big topic of conversation, but it has eliminated what would normally be a regular topic of conversation.
Yeah, that's the catch in it. It's not the other way, it's that way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you'd have the easy stuff of oh well bowls and whatever and
you guys
you know you I mean content even on hey poll projections every week they come out on Mondays and Tuesdays yeah. And we'd be talking about that and we'd be going well you know yeah Missouri now slides into the Belt Bowl and then that opens up this and well does Memphis finally get Ole Miss for the first time
yeah.
And all this stuff
we'd
and
be asking does Ole Miss get to Memphis or does Ole Miss get dropped if at six wins.
Yeah, we have Greg Gaston or somebody on the show we're going well the Liberty Bowl are they trying to get you know what yeah. Are we doing here so.
It's not that.
What's Ole Miss's APR? Are they a 5-7 bowl team? I don't know.
Right. I think the SEC said they won't do those anymore.
Do they really?
I think so.
Okay. I don't know. Good enough.
Yeah.
Did you have a thought?
I mean, I don't know. Just
you look like you had a thought.
I'm trying not to say something that would unintentionally make fun of other
yeah.
Or come
no,
across as a criticism. I kind of felt bad for Josiah Coatney last night. Like, we're, you know, is it fixable? Well, no, it's not fixable. Of course it's not fixable. And I'm not making fun of the question. But no. And he can't say that. But if it were fixable, they would have fixed it sometime between the 1st of August and November the 13th. So no, hell no, it's not fixable. They're giving up 500 yards of offense per game. That's what they give up. They're going to give it up again. Vanderbilt's pretty good on offense. This back's good. I can't think of his name right now, but he's good.
Yeah.
He's better than your boy.
He's fresher than my boy.
Hmm?
He's fresher than my boy.
He is fresher. I think he's a little faster.
Chris did not take into account the fact that Ralph had to run the ball 400 times a year for 4 years at Vanderbilt. That tread is off the tires at that point.
Chris did not acknowledge.
He gave the other guy credit for running behind the crap offensive line, but did not point out that the crap offensive line is part of the reason that Ralph got killed for four straight seasons. Can't have it both ways, Chris. Got to pick one or the other. I mean, you know.
Your love and admiration
for
Ralph
saying.
Webb, even when he shunned this Potato Log podcast, is just.
He scored a touchdown in the preseason. I get all these different texts. He gets cut like 4 hours later. He and Danny Etling got cut at the same time. That's how the pro career went. Danny Etling was your...
your cut mate.
Yeah. I mean, you know you're screwed. It's like the thing in Major League, you know, like when they get the red tags or you get brought into the office. And, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, congratulations, you did well today. When Ralph's sitting in his locker and they go, hey, Ralph and Danny head on in here, he goes, oh, hell.
And bring your playbook.
Yeah, you know you're done.
You're done.
When they call you and Danny at the same time, you know it's over.
Because I played against him. He sucked. I don't know. Just there. It's 8 days of a season that.
You know, we quote that all the time. That's one of the more underrated scenes is when they put the red tag in his locker, making the joke, and he freaks out. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
He puts the snake in front.
The little bitty one.
Yeah.
The little garden snake.
And then he brings out the garden snake.
Yeah, because Serrano's got his python or whatever around his arm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way, the guy that put the picture of the rattlesnake in the I'm taking your questions thread, you've been banned forever. So
I did say you got like the tiger rattler or something in the thread.
Yeah, that person's gone. He'll never come back.
That was it?
I gave him a 100-year ban.
Ooh. That's not good.
I didn't really.
I also see that in Neil's picks, you did not add a bunch of games this week. We stayed very chalk in Neil's picks this
week. Yeah, that schedule is so blah that I couldn't even look further.
Well, Jeffrey did have a good point. When you're bad at picking games, picking more games is not really a good strategy to do anything.
I did okay last week, though.
Did you? Did everybody do okay, though?
I haven't looked, but I did okay. I went 9-6. It's not the issue is not whether everybody else is bad. It's that
I went 10-5 or 11-4.
You probably did, but for me, 9-6 on a week of football picks is pretty good.
Well, but the goal is to catch up.
Well, that's not a realistic goal at this point. And there's no punishment because you lost the bowl thing last year and you still haven't.
I said
taken
whatever,
your
but I mean,
trip.
Nobody's booked anything. I mean, yeah, whatever.
That's true.
I mean, well, we're kind of busy. Like, I don't necessarily think you want me on a plane next Friday.
No, I don't.
I mean, so I there's a little bit of to it.
Yeah, it's our schedules just don't slow down.
No, I mean,
it's not like they're overbearing or anything. They just don't stop.
I mean, December is going to become somewhat of a coaching search month. So it's not even like, hey, let's screw with you and make you go to the Armed Forces Bowl on December the 18th or something.
Right.
You know, it's like, well.
Yeah, I think they're, I mean, all right, I'm going to ask you this question right now because it's the way everybody wants to know.
Okay.
I'm not going to hold you to it.
Okay.
Other people will. I won't.
That's fine.
If you had to give a number today. Today, it might change because, as people say, they're not into hypotheticals. If you had to give a number today, how many coaches on the staff that will coach Saturday, on the field staff, how many of the on the field coaching staff would you say will not be at Ole Miss when they open the season next year at Memphis?
Will not be on field coaches next season?
All right, that gives you the freedom to reassign somebody. Although I'm going to say this, reassigning somebody inside the athletic
you
department.
You ask a question, I needed a clarification.
And I'm buying you some more time to think.
Well, I don't need to think. I'm good. I'm just
reassigning someone within the athletics department so that you don't have to fire them is the biggest cop-out for complacency I've ever been around. That's pitiful. They're either good enough to be a coach on your field or they're not. Don't go create athletic department jobs so that you don't have to move them on. My opinion.
You want my answer now?
Yeah.
Four. My answer is four.
Let me do some mental gymnastics here with mine. I'll give an answer.
All right.
I'll go under four, two or three.
Do you really?
As of today.
Yeah, fine, whatever.
Now, if you told me that the Egg Bowl got bad and it led to such an emotional reaction that they had no choice but to do more.
What if it got good?
Last year it got good. It completely changed everything.
Yeah. Yes and no, but yeah.
Completely changed everything.
Yeah. Well, we can't debate that on there. I had one little caveat to that I wondered, whatever, yeah, we'll talk about it later. I can't do it here.
If Ole Miss loses the Egg Bowl last year by 14 points, mm-hmm. is any of the coaching staff that's on campus today still coaching today? See, I would say none.
No, I don't know.
I would say none.
Yeah, me too. My opinion.
I would think the guys that are in Raleigh, in my opinion, would be coaching here.
Most of that staff.
Yeah,
that's fair. All right, we'll go to Braden in 1 second. No good segue out of that bad boy. So we'll go talk some golf now with Braden. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacies on South Lamar in Oxford. Stop on in, get that flu shot today. Walk-ins are welcome. They're open all day long for you to go in and take care of the flu shot. If you have a major insurance provider, it is free, if not $25, to take care of your health. And if you want to use G&M Pharmacy for all your pharmaceutical needs, they have great service, great hospitality, and they deliver local in the Oxford area. So that's G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford.
Registration for the spring soccer season in the Oxford Park Commission has started. If you played in the fall, the cost is just $35. You'll rejoin your current team. For those signing up for the first time, it's $55 to play in the spring. Leagues are open for ages 4 to 15. For more information, visit www.oxfordparkcommission.com. Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, meganmphillips.com. That's meganmphillips.com, or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. OUB also offers Kasasa. It's the best checking account you'll find. OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site and he'll prove it to you, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And we're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape for this holiday season. Let them offer a variety of outdoor decorations to transform your house into a festive staple of the neighborhood. Lighting, garland, inflatable characters, whatever your vision may be. And the best parts, you buy them, you keep them. They'll store them for you the next holiday season, or you can store them yourself. That option is yours. So start a tradition your family will cherish for years to come. Call MasterCuts to schedule a free quote. 662-607-7773. Now, here's Braden Thornberry on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Braden, thanks for joining me for a few minutes this morning. You had a successful week in the second stage of web.com Q School. I'm just curious. I mean, you've played a ton of golf. I know mentally every round's the same, and you were there as an amateur. Keep that in mind. But just from the standpoint of really kind of one of the first times maybe future livelihood is on it, is there a different set of nerves? Did you have to battle anything a little different inside yourself butterfly-wise before this one?
Yeah, there's definitely a different type of nerve and something like that. Kind of what's crazy is, I was just nervous. I was struggling to eat, the morning of and to sleep the night before and stuff like that. And I had the least to lose of anybody out there, playing as an amateur and having obviously a great fallback plan. If you don't get through, just come back to college, you get to play all the great tournaments and stuff like that. So, some of those guys that are, 35 years old and have a full family at home, I can't imagine the nerves that are going through them.
Yeah, because you get there at the end and you've got to make that last putt on 18. Do you know where you are at that time? I mean, do you look over a 3 or 4 footer to finish a round and go, hey, this is deciding potentially my future right here? Or did you think you might have some leeway? Where kind of were you mentally at that point?
Yeah, the problem, they didn't really have great live scoring. It kind of wasn't – so really nobody knew where we were at. So I figured when the day started that 13-under was going to be the number to get through. And it turned out, I had that putt, it was probably a 5-footer on 18 to finish at 14. So it was definitely a pressure putt. It was kind of, I figured if I made it, I was for sure in. And if I missed it, I was probably in. So that's not really a risk you want to take, though. But so luckily, it was actually funny. The I putted great all week, but I'd actually missed 2 6-footers on 18, like in the previous 3 days. So I kind of left myself that same putt. Luckily, I was able to make it though.
Did it? Was it pretty straight in, or was it a slider, or what? What'd you have going on?
It was about left edge. It was kind of a tricky pin. You know, I hit it about 20-25 feet right on my second shot. And it was kind of an up and over, and I hit the putt the practice round, and for some reason it was just like really fast. I mean, in the practice round I'd hit it and it went all the way over to the other side of the green about 12 feet by. So luckily I kind of had a little knowledge there to, you know, only not get 5 or 6 feet by.
They don't make this very clear. So where do you kind of stand right now? I know you got partial status, but what does that mean from an event standpoint? And then I guess your finish in the finals will dictate just how many events you're exempt for. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So technically I'm a member of the web.com right now. But so if you make it to finals, you're a member of the web.com. I don't know if that really means much necessarily, but it finals basically like top 40, you get what they call a full card, which would be, I think, at least the first four events. And obviously, like, you know, the winner would get all of them. Second through 10th would get a certain amount. It's just kind of priority. And, you finish 80th, you have better, you know, better spots than the guy that finishes 120th. So I'm not 100% sure on, you know, all the exact details. So I'm just going to go out there, you know, play as good as I can and see where that puts me and figure out those numbers afterwards.
I know you had talked about, I guess, in Memphis the last time, that if you got through the full stages and whatever, you would turn professional at that time. What did this second stage make that decision for you, or where do you kind of stand on what you need to do to make that determination?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Getting through second stage is obviously the toughest part, I think, so it obviously helps. But no, it doesn't really take my decision necessarily yet on, you know, whether I'm, you know, stay at Ole Miss or turn pro. So I'll kind of have to figure that out, you know, kind of see where that puts me after finals and what kind of starts I can get and kind of see if it's worth it. But, I wish I had a better answer for you there. I've been kind of trying to figure that out, too.
Did you choose where you go for second stage? Do they place you? Do you get to kind of pick the course best for you? How does that work?
Yeah, so the top five, like, amateur ranking got me exempt for second stage, so I didn't have to play pre-qualifying or first stage, which is nice. And so people that are exempt to second stage, I think there was – 5 second-stage locations, and people that are exempt got to, like, kind of pick their spot if it was available. So I chose down there because, obviously, you know, growing up in Mississippi, I'm very used to, you know, Bermuda grass and just how everything works down in the South. You know, if you go out to California or something like that, it's might be Poana grass and, you know, different type of rough and stuff like that. So it made perfect sense to me, you know, go down there. It was kind of a no-brainer.
What do you know about the course for the finals?
I actually don't know much. I know it's, you know, kind of a birdie fest. I think like 28 under one in 4 rounds last year. So you can go low, and I think it's, you know, fairly gettable. And I've had success out in Arizona and like the Phoenix area. So hopefully just continue that.
Is there a different mindset when you know that it's a, hey, I mean, because everybody's obviously, you know, somewhat the same ability level. I mean, everybody's going to go low or whatever. But is there a different mindset to, hey, I've got to go low versus, hey, this course is really hard, let's be patient, and, you know, one over might be enough here? I mean, how does that kind of differ with you from a preparation standpoint?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's you kind of just have to let it come to you. You know, people can always say, oh, it's a hard course, even if it's a good score, you know, oh, 63 is going to be leading up today, like try to catch up. So, but, you know, kind of what I've always tried to do is just stay patient and just see what the golf course gives you. It's a lot harder, you know, said than done, but it's a tough thing to do because you never know exactly, because sometimes an easy golf course does play hard one day and, you know, you kind of get thrown off a little bit. So, but yeah, it's a tough thing to do, but you try to just keep it one shot at a time and just see where it puts you at the end of the day, and you can kind of reassess after that.
You've obviously had a lot of success at the college level. You've had a plan the entire time. You were never in a hurry. Was it comical? Was it stressful? I mean, you always kind of hear everybody else telling you maybe what you should do or shouldn't do. What's that sort of been like over the last 2 years?
Yeah, there's a lot of people have, you know, told me, oh, like, you know, you should turn pro right now. Like, why not go when it's hot and stuff like that? But I think that I have a lot of, you know, confidence with myself. So I think a lot of people are kind of looking at it as, you know, oh, you should, you know, jump for the sponsor deal, jump for the PGA Tour starts, all that right now. But, you know, I have confidence in myself. So I know that's going to, you know, stay there if I play the way that I'm supposed to. So I've never been in any type of rush to, you know, get out of college. I came to college on planning on going 4 years. So there was no reason that, you know, playing good in a 3 week stretch should make me change that whole plan right away. So that's kind of been my philosophy throughout the whole thing. But you know, obviously, you know, Coach Moore and I, we've talked about it the whole time, kind of starting after I went into NCAAs, you know, we kind of sat down and had the conversation of, like, does it make sense, and is it the right move right now? And, basically so far it hasn't been the right move, I didn't think, for me. So we're just going to keep taking it one step at a time, and just when the time comes, I'll be ready.
It's such a grind out there. I mean, you've got to be good every single week for the most part, especially when you're starting out and needing exemptions and status and whatnot. How have you kind of matured since that point? Just college golf, getting older and everything else, either, you know, something with your game or just the mental side of being able to be a little more prepared for that when the time does come?
Yeah, I think it's helped a lot playing in, you know, the U.S. Open and a couple of St. Jude's. That stuff's big because, you know, at the first couple that I did play, I was really nervous and I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know any of the guys out there. So I think that'll be a huge help for me, you know, when that time does come, that it's not a shock to my system. I already know what good golf is out there, and it's not, you know, I think when you start playing PGA tournaments a little bit, you think maybe those guys are, you know, kind of like superheroes and you got to do something special to keep up with them, but that's not really how it is. You know, good golf, I've said it before, good golf at, you know, the elite amateur level is basically the same thing. It's just a little bit difference in consistency and stuff like that. So it gives me confidence to know that, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and I'll be in a good spot.
When you do take a little time off just to, you know, your off season and work on your game, what are you working on? I mean, is there anything specific that you go, hey, you know, that you've identified that needs to be a little better or a little more consistent when that's part of your life comes?
Yeah, I've been working on mostly, you know, kind of driving accuracy, consistency, because when I do play really well and do win, it's when I hit my driver, you know, hit 75% of the fairways and, you know, I'm just easy going the whole tournament, and kind of the opposite when I struggle, that's usually kind of the root of the problem. So the rest of my game is pretty consistent. You know, my short game and putting is pretty consistent. Irons are pretty good. And but that's kind of always been the, you know, the X factor if I was going to, you know, play well, especially on a hard golf course. So it's a tough thing to really get better at. It kind of just takes time, and it's tough to see results as well, you know, because different golf course, you can't really go directly off stats and how many fairways you hit and stuff like that. But I think that's what I still need to improve on to, you know, really take my game to the next level.
Are you already getting hit up by club manufacturers and stuff? I mean, I have no idea. Being an amateur, how does that stuff work as far as kind of dealing with that part as you get close to it?
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously I can't do anything right now. You know, there's connections that you have through, you know, amateur reps and stuff like that, and you can talk to them. But as far as actually talking about anything for when you turn pro, you can't really do any of that. So trying to just worry about that when the time comes, you know.
What golfers do you sort of bounce stuff off of? Who's sort of your support system or advice or whatnot, be it people that maybe have turned pro that were amateurs with you or some older guys? Who have you sort of leaned on throughout the process?
I've talked, you know, Sam Burns, obviously, we've been good friends. I've asked him a lot of questions. But for a guy that, if I really have something, you know, about the PGA Tour that I'm wondering or something, it's Ollie Schneider-Jones. I've talked to him a good bit. And I'm talking to people that have been basically in the exact same position that you have. So, you know, like guys like Ollie and Maverick McNeely and stuff like that, they're good to talk to because, you know, they understand exactly where you're coming from with a certain issue or a certain question. Like, they really understand it. So I think that's probably the best way that I've kind of handled that.
How did you form that relationship with Ollie?
So at the Greenbrier, I can't remember exactly how we met, but at the Greenbrier, we played a practice round, and I was just kind of picking his brain all day with just all different kind of stuff. Just what's the PGA Tour courses like? How did this work with club manufacturers? How did you go about this process? Just all different kinds of stuff, and he was all about it because he kind of said, you know, literally asked me whatever because, you know, I was in that position 3 years ago and I had no clue. So that's pretty cool, and, you know, hopefully something I can do in a couple of years for, you know, kids coming up in 3 or 4 years from now. So. It's kind of one of those things you have to, you know, give back a little bit, and because it's a tough process, and, you know, the easier you can make it, just the better for everyone.
I know that obviously if finals don't go as well as you hope, chance you come back, but if you do qualify all the way through and turn professional, what does that mean for how you would potentially go about your sponsor exemptions on the PGA Tour, those 7 exemptions? I mean, do you try to kind of take those immediately? Do you pick tournaments that suit your game? I mean, I guess hypothetically, how would that process play out?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a tough one because, so let's say I get, you know, full status on the web.com and I have, you know, basically free reign to play whatever. It would depend on how you played necessarily. Like if you got off to a great start on the web.com, and because you know, there's to get to the PGA Tour, you know, the best way is the web.com. That's the easiest way and most straightforward way. So if you're playing really well there, sometimes it might not even be worth really even playing a lot of PGA Tour events. And but vice versa, if you do, you know, get off to a slow start and you play a PGA Tour event or two and play well, it could almost be worth, you know, putting maybe more of your time over there. So that's a tough question that you kind of have to, you know, do on the fly a little bit. But as I would personally put more of, you know, more of my cards right into the web.com, and hopefully that would go well, and then kind of see what PGA Tour events you could sprinkle in here and there that you think might fit your game.
You've played a lot of big events. So you've played, as you said, the U.S. Open and whatnot. Does that experience put a little less onus on, hey, if I stay an amateur, I've got these invites and I've got these invitations, because you have been able to experience some of those things versus if, you know, you were still relying on some of those for some of the big events?
Yeah, it's really cool. I've tried to, you know, kind of what me and Coach talked about, it's cool. I've tried to set up my schedule to be, you know, really cool that, you know, to take as much pressure off of Q School as possible. You know, mm-hmm. if I don't turn pro, I'm going to go to Australia with like Team USA and like the Australian Masters of the Amateurs. That's in January. Then obviously I, you know, could play NCAAs, could play the US Open, the British Open, the Walker Cup, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, either way it goes over the next month, I'll be in a good spot, you know, in a couple months from now. So I'm not too worried about it.
I mean, I know you're still young, much younger than me even right now, but how have you kind of stayed fresh? I mean, you got to be a little tired from all this.
Yeah, it happens, but, you know, I got back from, you know, second phase the other day, and I've taken, you know, 3 or 4 days off to kind of just, I mean, kind of just mosey around a little bit and, you know, just watch some TV and rest. And because it's not necessarily being physically tired, but just being mentally tired of having, you know, stress on your mind and body, you know, for 6 days in a row, it takes its toll a little bit. And I think sometimes people, it's not too big of a deal, but if you don't address it, you just, you know, keep doing it, I think it catches up to you. So that's kind of how I've handled it, is just take a couple of days off to kind of basically do nothing and just kind of get rejuvenated and get ready to go again and kind of be like excited and then go out there and practice instead of feel like you have to go.
Easiest question for the end. How are you feeling about the Grizzlies start?
I'm pretty good. I think we're, what, like 7-4? Well, I think we actually lost last night, so maybe 7-5, something
yeah.
like that. I think it's solid, but you know, Chip on our team, he's a fan of the Suns, so we were the worst 2 teams in the league last year, so I think we're off to a little bit better start than they are, so that's good.
Are you wanting like a complete rebuild, or do you think this group can make the playoffs?
I think we can make the playoffs. I don't think we're going to do a whole lot of damage in the playoffs, but Tom said that the Suns, you know, are a young, fresh team with no ceilings, and the Grizzlies are just old, washed-up team, so that's kind of came back to bite him so far. So.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, Bud, we really, really appreciate it. Good luck to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thanks to Braden for joining us on the show. And I'll tell you, if you live outside Oxford and sometimes you just want to get away, well, Oxford is your type. Whether it's a getaway with friends, a romantic trip for two, a guy's retreat, or simply just because, traveling to Oxford means you can enjoy your escape at your own leisure and not leave vacation in need of another one. No matter the reason, Oxford's the ideal location, from glass of wine on the balconies to live music, sports, and much more. Visit Oxford today. You see the full calendar of events at visitoxfordms.com/events. They've got the Thacker Mountain Radio Show in front of All Square Books every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Plenty more going on, including the Scramble Art Bowl at Uptown Coffee. That's November 5th through the 26th, 8 to 5. The Big Bad Art Show, 9 to 5 at the Powerhouse, November 2nd to December 3rd, and much more. So visit oxfordms.com.
Been telling you for a little while that Dead Soxy has something cool coming for you. Well, it's here. It's the limited edition Rebel colored socks. There's a limited quantity. There's only 100 of each of the 8 styles that are available. So if you've been on the fence, this is a great time to start with the brand. These have an introductory price point of only $20 before the Rebel Grove discount. So when you go to checkout, enter promo code Rebel Grove and you'll get 25% off. And for those of you who aren't fortunate enough to have a degree from ULM, that means that they go down to $15. $15. It's okay. I'll do the math for you. I went to Harvard on the Bayou. You didn't. This is the exact sock that they make for their custom clients. If you're interested in the custom socks, try a pair of the Rebel socks to experience the difference a quality sock makes. Powder blue colored socks can be a real challenge to find. But Dead Soxy has all the styles and colors to appease any Ole Miss fan. These make a perfect gift for the holidays. In other words, your stocking stuffer solution has arrived. So go to deadsoxy.com/rebels. Deadsoxy, deadsoxy.com/rebels, or find them on the bottom of the page under the styles heading. You get your 25% discount by entering promo code Rebel Grove at checkout. Chase will have, assuming that the mail cooperates, it looks like it will, Chase will have all of these styles at the watch party on Friday in Nashville. So head that way. Maybe you'll be one of the fortunate ones that gets the gets a giveaway. I don't know what Chase is going to do. It's trivia questions.
I think I'm literally just going to draw names out.
Yeah.
I think we're going to make this real easy. I think we're just going to have a big bowl or a hat or something, and we're going to draw some names.
If you'll wear your Robbins for Chancellor cap, you'll probably get socks.
You think that gives you a heads up?
That would give you an advantage.
I mean, I hadn't had time to custom order those Dead Soxy ones yet. They might have that on the sock if I had a little more time, right? You know.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's deadsoxy.com, promo code Rebel Grove. Chase was talking about if you want a getaway. Look, if you're looking to make a big vacation, get in touch with John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. One of our listeners did that just yesterday. It's pretty cool. So if you're thinking about that golf trip or an anniversary trip or spring break, you're looking to go to Florida, go to the Caribbean, looking to go on a cruise, maybe this is the summer that you and some guys are going to get together and do the big golf trip, and you want to take me to ride the cart and drink your beer, This is the year to get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners. It allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits simply aren't available to other travelers. I've told you how it works. You give him some parameters, and he gives you some choices. So give him a budget. Give him some ideas. Give him a time frame. He'll handle the rest. 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. If you're a first-time client, you can save $50 off your first booked trip just by telling John that you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
One other thing about Dead Soxy, too, when you go to their website, they're going to give you an option to get $8 towards socks just for giving them your email. So you can trade an email address for $8 with Dead Soxy if you so wish.
Exactly.
Just a little heads up there. So anyway. Yeah, I opened them up online, want to look at all the different styles. I've seen some of them, haven't seen all of them, so I was checking the rest of the collegiate collection there.
They're cool.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
They're cool.
Yeah, all about them. Again, thanks to Braden for jumping on short notice. He is quite the busy person right now trying to get what he hopes is his final academic semester for a little while done prior to qualifying for fullweb.com status in December in Arizona. Because, I mean, you heard him talk about it, but in all honesty, he's played so much golf in his life. And, yeah, I mean, there's pressure with tons of things. I mean, you know, even just you and your buddies out there for $5, there's a little more on a putt than otherwise, and you might be a little nervous and whatnot. But he's standing over a 5-foot putt that is dictating his future. First time that he's really had to kind of play for his livelihood, and we've heard about professional golfers talk about this all the time. I think Jason Duffner, major champion, really successful golfer from Auburn, he talked about how a lot of times the best golfers, they stay consistent and more competitive because they no longer have the financial stress and the playing privilege stress that some of these other guys do, because that affects your performance. You're out there and you're going, hey, yeah, I need to make this finish, but that means if I don't hit this shot, I'm headed back to the other tour. I don't have a tour status. I'm going to go broke. I mean, there's a certain level where, yeah, it's not just because you're the best player, even though you probably are too. It's freeing mentally that allows you to do so many more things on a golf course, I would assume. So,
oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, Braden's staring over a putt and goes, I missed this. I'm definitely headed back to school. I don't have status.
Well, there's a reason NBA greats miss free throws sometimes in clutch moments. It's you start thinking.
But they're getting paid either way as opposed to this. I mean, you don't score, you don't get the money.
Well, there's a reason that guys in their free agent year sometimes don't have great seasons.
Yeah.
And some of them take steroids.
College baseball
and have great,
players
I mean,
often
have great seasons.
College baseball players often don't play as well in their draft seasons.
Yeah,
better sophomores than juniors sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because
not as nervous.
It's here.
Not thinking about it.
Well, and you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
Outside of the game, you're constantly doing this. Speaking of, it is the start of the early signing period for baseball and basketball today. I saw some names come across for baseball this morning. I'll deal with that next week. But
yeah, we addressed it on the self-verbal. In basketball, I don't expect any surprises. Four guys will sign.
Who all is it?
Oh, you're going to put the pressure on me.
Well, it's only four.
I mean, dude.
It's not like it's February 3rd. And I go, name all 31 for me. Let's go through these guys.
You and I would struggle with that worse than ever before.
I would simply refer them to someone else that I know is what I would do.
Yeah, I would say Russell.
That's going to be the biggest thing. Like, and I still get it a lot. I mean, I don't blame anybody. I should know it more than I do. But at these parties and things, I go, well, what about this linebacker? And I'm like, dude,
Rodney Howard, the center from Greenville, South Carolina, is going to sign. Dude Collum from Memphis. Bryce Williams, the shooting guard from JUCO in Daytona Beach, and then Sammy Hunter.
Sammy Hunter is the one you like.
Yeah, from the Bahamas.
Who else offered? Who was the finalist for him?
I don't know who else really got involved. They got on him pretty quick, and it helped. And I think, actually, his relationship with Franco Miller and also with Yolanda.
Yolette McCann.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yolette. Sorry.
Yeah. Yolanda.
Everybody does the Coach Yo thing.
So you forget what the rest of the Yo thing is.
I forget her name because of that, which I don't want to call her Coach Yo.
You don't?
I really don't. I'm not a nickname person with people that we cover.
Do what now?
I'm not into nicknames with people that we cover. Like, I cringe every time someone goes, hey, Crime.
Yeah.
There's Wesley. I mean, some people call him Big Dog.
You haven't done that?
I've not done that.
Called anybody Big Dog?
Never in my life.
Have you not? Ever?
Called anyone Big Dog?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
You don't think so?
I would be willing to bet.
When the post guy comes, gives the mail, you don't go, hey, Big Dog.
What's up, Big Dog?
Thanks. Yeah, bring that package right on in here. You don't do that?
No, I don't.
Credit to the NFL for moving the Rams-Chiefs game, by the way.
Is like my son, I might find out that one of the girls, if I called the mailman Big Dog, I might find out that one of the girls said, hey, that mailman's going to get fired. Bet on it.
Think so?
It could. And then I'd feel bad when I called him, hey, Big Dog, because one of my girls just said that you're getting fired.
Okay. NFL moving the Chiefs-Rams from Mexico City back to L.A. Good decision there yesterday because it looked like for a little while they were so, hey, we're going to play Mexico, by gosh, we're going to do it. Someone would have torn eight ACLs. Did you see that field?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You could not have played. And then they go, well, we'll just lay down side. And to the NFL's credit, the union goes, no, because it doesn't have time to set. It's just going to be loose turf out there on the field.
No, it's good. No, that's the beauty of the Players Association. They protect their players.
I mean, Mahomes or Todd Gurley tears an ACL on that field.
Anybody tears an ACL on that field. That's their livelihood.
Yeah.
The game's already dangerous. Absolutely no, you don't play there.
I was just a little shocked because sometimes it just you force the square in the round hole and whatever, but NFL's pretty good at it, so it's
yeah, the big leagues are pretty good at it. Like in basketball, if there's condensation on the floor, they will not play.
Yeah, they are very particular about that.
Yes,
yeah.
they should be.
Yeah.
Did you see the guard for Karis, the guard for the Brooklyn Nets, Karis?
I saw all the things. I did not watch the play.
The injury looked gruesome. And then they got the best news. There's no fracture, very little ligament, tendon damage at all.
Well, I did see him say it could have been much worse. I saw his social media post about how he was fortunate that it was what it was.
He's going to be able to start rehabbing soon. He'll be back on the court this season.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it looked like Hayward or whatever.
Oh, it did. It looked like a Gordon Hayward injury, maybe worse. Man.
on this
Caris date, LeVert. Caris LeVert. Yeah. Sorry.
On this date in 1970 was the Marshall football team crash, the plane crash in 1970.
I'm knocking on wood when I say this. It's a miracle that hasn't happened more often. An entire team in the air on one plane. Everybody.
Yeah. So many, I mean, just air. I mean, it shows you how safe air travel is,
really
frankly.
Does.
I mean, you know, we always go, oh, there's a plane, whatever. I mean, the U.S. hasn't lost a commercial, they haven't had a commercial death on a plane. Yeah, I mean, yeah, knock on wood 1,000 times. I mean, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's been years and years and years. I mean, we had this conversation on the, I think we were discussing that maybe Sully or something with Jeffrey one day. We were talking about this was, you know, I mean, it's the safest form of travel from a fatality standpoint.
When you get on a plane, do you even think about it?
No.
I don't
know. No. I'm blessed because I see a lot of people around me that are very nervous. I don't even have an increase in blood pressure on a plane at all. If anything, I kind of enjoy the sound and the movement and the resting that comes with it. And see, I'm not motion sick either, so I can read. I read on planes is all I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Like a lot of people would throw up if they read on a plane, but I'm good. I'm whatever.
I've gotten where now when I get on a plane, I'm asleep pretty quick.
See, I can't sleep, but I can chill and headphones and read and.
As long as the
you guy, hope the guy next to you is not chatty. Sometimes you got the guy that will not shut up no matter what.
Headphones.
Those talk through the headphones. You hadn't had the guy that hits you on the shoulder when you have headphones in and like does the little motion to like, hey, can you take that out for a second?
Well, and I have, and I've said I'm listening to something.
Oh, you just you'd be the jerk.
I'm a jerk. I don't care. I don't know the guy. I'm never going to meet him again. What difference does it make?
You don't know that. Might be like that show Manifest on NBC where y'all are actually in the air for 5 years, and when you get off, y'all got to like solve crime and stuff together. You never know.
That's a good point.
Did you see this show?
Laura watches it some, and I think it's stupid.
It's gotten over the top. I've watched the pilot, and I mean, I was a big fan of Lost. I really, really like Lost.
Yeah.
And I watched this. I'm like, this is okay, but it's getting a little too sci-fi-ish for me now.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm probably done soon. I think I'm good.
In fact, I think she has signed off. I think.
Oh, really? You even lost a female.
I think it
no
lost
offense,
her.
4%.
8%.
We're sticking with 4. I don't care what you say. We're sticking with 4.
I like the idea of there being more women listening than less.
It's ironic. We know there's more.
I mean, as someone who's never really had an audience of females, it's kind of exciting to think about.
Fair enough. You know. No, I get
I'm the
that,
guy that
I
went
guess.
To a basketball game instead of his prom. You know, the idea of girls out there listening is good.
I still don't understand this. I mean, not to beat the dead horse, but you were like Mr. Rustin High School.
Know,
like how that person is not popular with the prom thing, it defies logic.
People liked me. They just didn't like me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I got friend zoned a lot.
Did you really?
I think so.
Looking back.
Yeah, my advice to like Carson's going to be do not ever go in the friend zone.
Just cut off contact? So have no female friends?
You have – if you think there's a chance that you might ever have interest in anything more, never go friend zone.
Okay.
Never.
Can't get out.
Because once you're in, ain't no getting out of there.
Because – well, here's where you make the point is – if that person is interested in you in that way, they're not going to let you in the friend zone. You know what I mean? Like, if the female is really interested
well,
in you that way,
true.
She's not going to let you in the
right.
friend zone. So,
but if you're hoping to one day work into a different zone.
Yeah, because
zone,
when you're that age, you go, hey, look, if I just become really good friends, then all of a sudden we transit. No,
you just got to wait for a different time. Knowing that time might never come.
But don't get too chummy.
But don't surrender.
Surrender.
Right. See, I've already started giving Carson some of these lessons. I don't know whether he's
you won't be able to help much on. Well, how do I ask the girl out to prom? Well,
I don't know, buddy. Let me get you in touch with some friends.
Me and a buddy ask a girl for another one of our friends for prom one year.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
He wouldn't do it, so we called and asked and said, "Hey, so and so is too scared to do it. You go to prom with him?"
Did she go?
Yeah, she went.
She was desperate.
Yeah, I felt really bad for her, actually. This is really, really not sweet girl. I don't know where she is today. She probably doesn't listen to the podcast. To be like, you mentioned me. I'm like, I didn't say your name. Is she? I mean, it's probably been a storyline in one of these teen soaps or something. But it's true. She gets to prom, and when they're doing like the introduction thing,
yeah,
she doesn't have the inside layer of her dress. So when she goes over the spotlight, it literally showed like the X-ray thing through her dress to everyone in the room. So you could see outlines of whatever. Yeah. It was really embarrassing for her, and I was like, oh, that's not good. It's like, eh. And you know it's really bad, like when even the high school kids don't really make fun of you, like that you're friends. They go, we're all gonna move on with our nights now. So no, look, prom is an overrated thing, but it is kind of a rite of passage. It's whatever. I mean, it's incredibly overrated, but
I made it through.
You say that. I mean, you know, maybe that changed your whole perspective. On
maybe
things.
If I had gone,
yeah,
I would have had a different
life. I'm just saying. You're like Mr. Destiny, like Belushi in that movie. He hits the home run, and he's committing insider trading and got the mansion and the girl and everything.
Yeah.
He didn't hit the home run. He can't even find the mud guy, to pave his driveway. I mean, what's up? So
yeah. Just never know.
I really like that movie. It's so stupid, but I can't help it. If I ever find it on, I'm watching it. So. I had a point in all this, and now I'm not really sure what it was.
I don't know. Looking back.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
Before friend zone.
Well, we went from 4% to 8%, and then we went
Did I mention the 4%?
I don't know.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
It's not good. I had a point. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I've lost
it. It's my fault.
Yes, it's absolutely your fault. I'll save myself from this for a break in a second. But did you? I tagged you. Did you see where the AP confirmed that you screw up the dressing stuffing thing again yesterday? I didn't tell the Associated Press to do it. They just did it.
Yeah, I mean, look, what difference does it make?
What do you mean?
What difference does it make?
Well, you have to be correct. All of our readers are really hard lined on AP style. So, look, if we do not use correct AP style,
Then you're a looser.
I'm a looser.
Yeah, I just call it, I've called it stuffing.
Why, though?
I don't know.
I bet your mother doesn't call it stuffing.
No, she calls it dressing.
Well, then where'd you get the stuffing from?
I don't know.
Like, I swear, I think you have like this Yankee handbook, and it's like, how can I frustrate the hell out of everyone I'm around by using things that do not go with dialect? When I go to the store, I'm going to push a carriage through the grocery aisle.
I push a cart.
I'm the
guy that goes and cleans up the carts that are left rolling around in the parking lot.
Yeah, I do that too. It
pet peeve of all time.
Drives you nuts.
If you leave a cart rolling around in a parking lot,
I think it says something about you.
You are a bad person. Yeah. I don't care what else you do in your life. If you leave carts rolling around, if you're too lazy to walk your cart 10 feet to the nearest collection area, you are a bad human being.
Yeah, you judge people off dogs liking them and putting carts back in their place.
Two of the biggest things.
Yeah, I mean, good dogs, Labs, not Copper.
Yeah, I mean, if you're terrified of Copper, I get it.
Yeah,
I am too.
He was Cujo, but
yeah. But if you're scared of a Labrador Retriever, or you don't say hello to a Labrador Retriever,
you have no desire to pet said Retriever.
When a Labrador Retriever comes up to you, like, hey, what's up? Look at my toy. Hey, look, I'm your new best friend. Then you just say nothing.
You're like Eeyore. I mean, it's
something's up. Something's up.
Something should do in interview processes and have a lab puppy in the interview room. Watch people's reaction to
them. That would actually be good, because you'd find out whether people are real or not. Because when you see a lab puppy, like a 12-week-old Labrador Retriever puppy.
With the big paws and he's falling over.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, you change your voice tone and your pet not.
Good you hire boy. The guy that takes a second, let me pet the dog, then let's get the dog out of here and we'll talk. Versus the guy that like kicks the dog away and is like, go ahead.
All day. Because that first guy, when he said, oh, good boy, good girl, and all that stuff, is much better than the guy's like, I'm in an interview. Move away, puppy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
If you can't stop time for a moment and say hello to the puppy, something's up. You're not good. There's a chance you're a mass murderer.
You're not saying you are.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying there's a chance.
You're just profiling a little bit.
Because most of us don't have it in us to be mass murderers.
it's fair.
Most of us, that's not.
There's our out of context quote of the day.
But if you kick the puppy away, there's a chance. There's a chance that something could snap and you go nuts.
Yeah, but no, I mean, see, Ted Bundy would have petted the puppy.
Yeah, but he's. But he was a sociopath.
That dude compartmentalized more than any human on earth.
He was a sociopath.
Among other things, yes.
Yeah. I bet you think Ted Bundy put his card up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every time. Without a doubt. Smiled at you, helped you with your card next to it. Oh, yeah. 100%. Obsessed with appearances. Obsessed. That's his whole deal. I mean, not to get way down that road, because I know a little too much about it. But, yeah, no, obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've never read The Stranger Beside Me, it's the best true crime book of all time. Period. Ann Rule, who was a friend of Ted Bundy. It's fantastic. So she's passed away now. But
may she rest in peace.
Yeah, I mean, incredible crime, true crime writer. Anyway, I'm making great segues today. We are going through all these happy and cheery things as we make our breaks.
The only
in the show.
Excuse I'll give people is the person who, the mom,
well, yeah, okay,
who has babies in the car and she doesn't want to walk over 20 feet.
Yeah.
I get it. You're being protective.
No, we're talking just generalizations.
In those situations, I don't understand why not park next to one of the collection things. Where
what if there's not a spot? You're going to circle for an hour to find a spot next to a collection?
No, but I
go to Kroger at 4 o'clock on a Friday and go, I'm only going to park next to collection spots.
But the guy that just leaves it there because
well, I get that.
I get irrationally angry at that guy.
Yeah.
Makes me angry. Well, there's weather coming. Okay. So you messed your hair up? I mean, it'd be all right, right? You know that the weather's going to push the cart around. It's going to knock somebody's, it's going to dent somebody's car.
Yeah.
I've never once left a cart sitting there.
Ever.
Ever.
Never, ever, ever.
Never, ever. But I'm the cat that feels bad like dropping a piece of gum somewhere.
You'd never park in a handicapped spot or do anything along those lines?
No, never.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Our underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So getting local underwriting understands your market, a leader in condo financing and the float down option. So you can lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you in part by the Weston Jackson. They're the sponsors of my mailbag, which is up at rebelgrove.com. At the Weston Jackson, you can also visit Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then stop at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi. It represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Look, I've watched what they do. The cookie cutter financial planners, and I've used those before as well. They just kind of ask you some questions. How much risk are you willing to take? Whatever. And they throw you in a box. Pinnacle Trust gets all of your information. What are you hoping to do with your life? When are you hoping to retire? What do you want to have once you retire? What do you want to do when you retire? All of these kinds of questions. And then they build a box just for you, right down to the penny. It's amazing. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com or that's PINNtrust.com. Make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on the podcast, you get 10% off your first year's fee.
Yeah, it was what I was thinking about earlier about the planes and whatever. It's one of the more uncomfortable, funny Seinfeld things when they first meet Keith Hernandez and they're in the locker room and George just like looks at him and he's so nervous. And he goes, "It's amazing y'all don't crash more when you're on the planes and going across the thing." He's like, "How many games you play? 162 or whatever." He's like, "It's amazing more sports teams don't crash." And Hernandez is just kind of looking at him like, "What is this guy's problem?" And he's going on and on. He goes, "It's going to happen soon. I mean, just law of averages says one of you is going to crash soon, the whole plane." It's good. So,
do you lean back in it? We've had this conversation. Do you recline ever?
No, but you have to realize I'm so short that it doesn't matter. Like, I can sit in as cramped of a back seat as possible. I mean, if you're, say I'm 5'8", I'm 5'7". I mean, if you're 5'7", it doesn't matter. You can sit anywhere without really being that uncomfortable from a reclining standpoint. You don't recline.
I don't recline.
You don't recline, but in saying that, it is there. Like, I don't know why. I mean, you're not a complete jerk if you do it, I don't think.
It just depends. If you look behind you and you see someone's a big person and you recline anyway, that's you. You're the guy that leaves your cart sitting there because you don't have time.
My biggest pet peeve, and even this is relative because I have flown with a child. I understand how complicated this is at times and how difficult it is at times, and I typically have much, much empathy. But if you've got the kid fully well enough, old enough to understand what he's doing and never even – like, if the parent makes an effort, I even give them credit. But the parent that sits there and lets the kid kick the back of your seat for, like, 4 hours is the one that drives me insane. And it's like, can you not say something to him? Just try. Even if it doesn't work, can you please try to stop him? That would be great. You don't even get that. So that's one of my bigger pet peeves. I am enjoying your mailbag question about the people that would do a Neil McCready roast. Should we do one? You pick the answers, and somebody goes, "How do we make that happen?" And I mean, make staying inside our joke, obviously, as we close up the podcast, says, step one, get a title sponsor. I mean, you go like this. Neil's so bald, before I told you how bald, we like to take a break in the roast to tell you we're brought to you by Clark Ford. So
there you go. We make money. I'm for it.
Sell out the pavilion, hang some banners, do some things.
Yeah,
put some mic flags up with some sponsors on them.
Absolutely, if you're gonna do it, do it.
Have to bring Jay in to let him just go. Let Jay have at it.
I said I'd let you, Jeffrey, Jay. I'd let my girls do it as a group. That would be brutal.
Andy would be good.
Andy Kennedy would be really good.
Andy would be
maybe too good.
Give him a little cat head, get him going. He'd be all right. He'd get it going.
I'd be under the table by the end of that, just in a ball.
Chandler Lawson do anything yet?
Not yet. I think the consensus is it's going to be Georgia Tech today.
Is Pastner still there?
Yeah.
Is he? I'm just curious.
That deal got weird.
Why?
There's people come on.
Why? What? Did he take the extra visit? He saw the academic facilities, the tour.
Yeah.
Put him over the top.
Engineering. Strong engineering.
Is that what it is?
Georgia Tech. And apparently Oregon's back in it because distance became less of a factor than it was just days ago.
Really?
Sometimes you get over distance.
You change your mind.
You think about it. You're like, it's just an airplane.
Just the other side of the country.
Yeah, it's just Eugene, Oregon.
Can you fly into Eugene? You fly into like Portland or Seattle and drive?
I think you can fly into Eugene, but I don't think it's convenient.
Okay.
I think most people fly into Portland.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to Oregon.
I got a call once about a job in Oregon. It was 2000, like maybe 9.
Okay.
Hadn't been here long. Was not particularly crazy about what was going on.
Covering Oregon?
And it was covering the Ducks.
Oh.
And they weren't offering me the job. They were asking, would you be interested?
Engaging.
Yeah, would you be interested? Would you be interested in coming out? And I asked a lot of questions about Oregon. Like,
yeah. I mean, I want to go because I want to go to Banyan Dunes, but yeah, never been.
They said it's really nice. I've heard Eugene is not particularly nice.
Okay. John Edwards could probably hook me up with that if I wanted to really go to Banyan Dunes.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. So,
hey, the 2018-19 hoop season has arrived. Don't miss out on the new Pavilion Mini Pack for just $65. Tickets include games to Tennessee, Auburn, and select non-SEC games. as packages are fully customizable based on your schedule. For more information, visit olemisssports.com. Click the tickets link. Don't miss a minute of the action this year at the Pavilion with Coach Yo and the women's hoops team. Get your tickets today for just $50. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. The Ole Miss women's team, that was they played on Tuesday. How'd they do against Temple?
I thought it was today. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. It was Tuesday, November 13th.
Okay. I don't know. Sorry. I can look. Go ahead.
Okay. And the men's team returns to the Pavilion on Tuesday, November 20th. It's Ole Miss Family Night as they host Nichols at 6 p.m. $5 lower level tickets will be available for purchase by visiting the ticket box office on game day. So escape the house on Thanksgiving break and bring the family out to the Pavilion.
It's tonight at 6 o'clock.
It's tonight at 6.
It is.
Okay, this says Tuesday.
I'm telling you it's tonight at 6.
Okay, well, if it's tonight, don't miss your chance to win prizes, including Nike gift cards, Beats headphones, and a brand new television. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com.
It appears that Temple is 2-0. They beat, I think that's Delaware State's logo, 75-61. And then I believe that is St. Joe's that they beat 58-52, if I'm getting those logos correct. So.
By the way, even though they're not a sponsor on the main podcast, they are the sponsor of the Greatest Pod in the South, which we'll be taping today. I don't know if you saw this. This will interest you.
Okay.
Been telling you about the bourbon that they've been working on, the whiskey at Cathead.
Yep.
Available today.
Really? They're bottling it up, huh?
In Mississippi. It's called Old Soul Bourbon. It's the inaugural release of Old Soul Bourbon. It's a blend of 74% four-year-old bourbon and 26% 15-month-old bourbon. It's only available in Mississippi through the summer of 2019.
Do you have a mash bill for it yet? Do you know if it has any rye or anything in it? Like, is it a blend?
Yeah, I think it's I can get that information for you.
Just
I can get you specifics.
All right.
1,000 cases have been released. It's landing at stores this week, so it'd be a great gift for brothers, dads, husbands, wives.
The inaugural batch would be kind of a cool thing for any alcohol thing. It's kind
sure.
of
yeah.
So,
it's a beautiful bottle.
Okay.
By the way, and I think I can answer your question. Hang tight. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if I can.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No. It's I can't read it. I'll have to find that.
Ole Miss women, by the way, 1-1, beating Norfolk State 60-42, and losing to IUPUI 66-58 going into tonight. So
they got a game against Connecticut coming up, right?
They do next week in the Virgin Islands. You find that?
I'm looking still.
It's okay. You can tell me tomorrow on the show. We'll tease it. Give you some homework. Jeffrey Wright will join us tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, Matt Wyatt. So come on out to Funky's. Let's hang out, and we will have a good time prior to heading to Nashville and this weekend for Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Talk to you tomorrow.